money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know, I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
I am always, always, always happy. I was just going to say, I'm always happy that you say yes. I think there's only been one show where you said, I'm not ready to talk money. And
that's from long ago.
It was long ago. So I'm always happy that you say yes because, well, to be honest, we have two guests.
Yes, we do.
Me doing the interview alone, well, you guys don't want to see that. So welcome to the show. We are so happy. We have two guests we're going to introduce in a minute. Keep you in suspense, of course. And welcome to the show. If you're a first-time listener, you have lots of catching up to do. We have been, Reb and I, we were just talking about that. Every time we sit down, we're really kind of shocked at how the time has gone by.
Yeah, we're heading into We're heading into our ninth year of podcasting, which is like,
And I'm 29, and I only been, like, we've been doing this for 9 years, and I don't think we started when I was 20, so I don't know how that math works.
I'm sorry, but you had your 55th birthday this summer, so I'm just I'm laying it right out there, man.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. A little bit of housekeeping. So if you're tuning in on CHRI 99.1, 88.7, and 100.3, I think I'm doing that right. Welcome. We love having the expanded welcome to the people in Montreal, Southside. Welcome to the show if you're listening. If you're on a podcast or you're on YouTube and you're watching us and you get to see us in full color, Reb is always dressed in full color. I try and match her sometimes.
Okay. So, well, let's keep going.
LTR. So LTR is the sponsor of today's show. If you are a commercial business and you are renovating your commercial space, LTR is a commercial custom millwork company. They build beautiful spaces in the commercial space. So that's all we're going to say. Reach out to Brian and his team, and they will help you from beginning to end on your custom or commercial custom space renovation.
Great. Well, today we want to welcome Diane and Ian Kerr. Welcome here today.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. We appreciate you inviting us.
You are new friends to us. So we wanted to invite you because all year long we've been I've been trying every month to have folks on the show to talk about the God's provision story in their lives. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be here for this show and also another show this month. With a different topic. So listeners, I just want them to get to meet you a little bit. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you just to tell us a little bit about yourself, but you're also going to share a scripture verse that's been really important to you on your God journey.
So we almost always start with scripture.
I have had to be reminded, I get right into the topic and then they're like, what about this scripture today? And I'm like, but could you guys tell us a little bit about yourself? You're local to the Ottawa area, and
we are Ian and Diane. We have four grown-up children and three grandchildren. We moved to Canada in 1997. That was to Montreal from Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Well, you can probably tell Diane has more of an accent than I had. I had to learn to speak differently so I could communicate with Canadians.
Well, I was pretty
sure. She does have a thicker accent than you do today, yes.
I just try to slow down. Which is much harder if I've just come from visiting Belfast.
Yes, very good.
That's true.
We moved to Montreal, then Kingston. We were assigned, we were put in assignment, well, Ian was put in assignment to go from Canada to Berlin, Germany. Okay. So we were there for some years, and then in 2008 we came back to Canada, and we've made Ottawa our home.
Wow.
Yeah.
So was that because of work? Did you make all these transitions to work?
Yeah, I was moving around with work, and then I had an opportunity to take a position here in Ottawa in 2008, and we just sort of decided that this is where God wanted us to be. Mm-hmm. And we recently even built a home here and said, okay, this is where we're going to be for the next 20, 30 years.
I mean, you've been here a while, but I like welcome here. So before we get into the story, you have a scripture that has been really meaningful to you on your financial journey with the Lord. Could you share that with us today?
It's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and it's, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight."
Okay, so should we do that in like the fast Irish version? No, just kidding.
When you were saying it, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm hearing it for the first time. It's a very familiar verse, though, to many Christians. It's sometimes I say, "What's your favorite life verse?" and then they quote this one. What has been important to you about this verse on your journey, particularly regarding finances?
Well, there's two parts in it. The first is it's trust in the Lord, right? And I think that's the core of a lot of our Christian journey is learning to trust in all aspects of our lives. Mm-hmm. And one of the areas that we've had to learn to trust is in finances. And that's been progressive, and you'll hear some just different things about that. But also the second part of it, as it ends, "and he will make your path straight." Mm-hmm. And we've moved around. We've crossed the Atlantic a few times. So our paths have not been straight in that sense. But if you trust that he'll make them straight, then it means he'll guide it, right? He'll and I think we take a lot on ourselves about that we have to get it right. And I'm going to tell you, we're sharing here today, we are not great with finances. We're not people who rigorously budget and adhere to budgets. I have made some terrible financial decisions over the years. But we believe that God makes our path straight, right? He takes care of that. He overcomes my stupidity, right? You know, his provision in our lives is not based on us getting it right. It's based on who we are in Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that is what we've come to learn, is that his blessing and his favor and our trust in him is what matters. And he makes up for the, like, he's a good dad. He makes up for the stuff that we get wrong. Mm-hmm. But learning that financially and learning to live, you know, in the kingdom is about trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Thank you. There's a lot we could unpack in that, but I want to hear some of your story. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I ask you, how have you seen God meet your needs? That's a big question. For how long have you been married?
39 years.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
April is our 40th.
Okay. Well, that's a big deal. Congratulations. So how have you seen him meet your needs?
Well, from the very outset, I would say when I was back in high school, I got involved in Bangor Christian Trust a long, long time ago. It is now known as Christian Fellowship Church in Belfast. Okay. And at that stage, I was getting a lot of teaching. I was about 16, going on or 17. And at that stage, I was introduced to Paul Yonggi Cho, which is not a book, or it's not an author you normally, a lot of Christians maybe hear about, but he wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension, and it was about praying and the Holy Spirit and learning to be specific in your prayers. Right. And he talked about being pregnant, praying until you had the acknowledgement in your heart that God had heard your prayer, and then that was it. You just trusted in God. So I started praying about, I thought God wanted me to learn to drive, which seems normal for people here, but my mom and dad didn't have a car. They had never learned to drive, so it was a pretty big deal. And I felt God was calling me to learn to drive, and so I said, "Lord, okay, well, if you want me to learn to drive, you're going to have to provide for that, because we don't have a car. My mom and dad don't know how to drive. They can't teach me." And I went into school the next week, and they announced at the front in assembly that they were going to be introducing driving lessons through the school. And I thought, okay, Lord, thank you. Mm-hmm. And that was the start. As I was reading through that book, God provided, I'll go for the long story shortened dramatically, God provided the first three cars of when I learned to drive, when we got married, and when we started our family, without any cash to us at all.
Beautiful.
And it was...
Diane would pray specifically for, I wanted this color, I like this model, and that's...
I prayed for a metallic blue hatchback Chevette. I got a metallic blue hatchback Chevette.
So from early on, I think, first of all, we received good teaching really young. And we started off, I think, our lives together with this understanding that God is our provider.
Yeah.
And one of the principles we put in place from the start was that, you know, we honor God first.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about... What do we give God after? Mm-hmm. It's we honor God first, and He takes care of the rest. Another thing we did was Diane was going. We wanted a family, so Diane was going to stay home and take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. So we want income.
Yeah.
That pushes your faith. But it was like, okay, now when we took that decision, we knew there would be financial aspects to that, but also that enabled us to make the moves we've made, right? I don't think we'd be in Canada if we hadn't made that decision early on. Mm-hmm. You know,
because she might have been in her own career and field. Yeah. Yes.
But as we moved through this, this sort of core principles were there, and we were in Montreal, and we're moving to Kingston, and we prayed about what do we need as a house for the family? What are we looking for in the house? What's it going to be? And the real estate agent in Kingston showed us a number of houses. And then we went to one house. You know, when you walk into a house, you just think, this is the house.
Yeah.
You don't need to be convinced. They don't need to sell it to you. You know that this is where we're supposed to be. This is everything we've prayed for. And it had a certain price tag on it, obviously. And so we knew what we needed to sell our house in Montreal for to be able to put in the offer for this house.
Right.
So our real estate agent in Montreal, I think we should put it in your house in the market for this. And it wasn't enough. Right. Mm. And we said, okay, we'll trust you, but we really believe this is the house we need. So we really wanted to go for over asking. Mm. And a couple came up and said, you know, they offered us at what he'd listed it for, which again, wasn't enough. And he said, well, you know, it's a good deal. It's what we've listed it for. And we were going to have an open house the following day. The Saturday, and I said, well, listen, go back to them and tell them this is what we need. So go back to them and say, if they offer us this, it's theirs, and we'll cancel the open house. He said, that's a lot, you know. He said, listen, this is what we need, so go and ask them. And he did, and he came back to me and said, sit down. And their estate agent's coming in. Can you play poker? Can you play dumb? and they said, well, you know, they're negotiating. And they said, well, if we give you this, will you do this, this, and this? And it was what we needed. Mm. And so we said, okay, we'll do that. Thank you very much.
Poker face it off.
Poker face it off. And he was like, never thought you'd sell the house for that.
So it meant that you also agreed to do a few things that they needed.
Well, basically, we'd cancel the open day.
Yeah, yes, yes.
I think we'd leave them the stove or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was just
very good.
We want to do anyway.
Yes.
We were moving house, right? So, but it was exactly the amount we needed then. We could put the offer in and we got the house in Kingston.
Yeah. Right?
And that's that's the trust cycle of being in faith about, okay, this is what God's asked us to do, but also in faith about exactly what you're looking for. And that sounds selfish, but I think God's kind of like, that he likes when you are not afraid to ask. James says that. James says you don't have because you don't ask. You know, and we've kind of always tried to be specific when we're praying about something, not vague,
right?
And also that helps you when God then answers it because you prayed for something specific and He gives you something specific. So that's not a coincidence.
No.
It has to be Him.
I'm actually thinking of, which is along these lines, but I find it, when Israel wants a king, God gives them a king.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even when it's like, that's a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's a bad idea. And so there's that grace, there's that father part that you're talking about. There's that, you know, we can experience that in the story to say, well, wait a minute, Lord. And I love part of your story. What I'm hearing is there was some homework you guys did. You knew the numbers you were known. You knew, praying specifically.
Yeah.
really important, because sometimes we do get in the, well, as James says, we don't get, because we also ask just for whatever we want. We ask amiss because we were whining, you know,
it's all. We want to spend it on our pleasures.
We want to spend it on ourselves. And we're going, no, this isn't what we're doing here. We've done some math. We've looked around. We've followed the Lord's leading on that direction. And now we're back here at the house and we need this much to do that over there. Right?
You know, because so we know we knew in confidence he was moving us to Kingston and that we prayed about that, you know, and this was just a next step in a process.
Yeah.
I think another principle that we've had is that, like, as much as, you know, these things come through, is the Bible's also very clear, is that you're responsible for your decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to live with the consequences of those decisions as well. God doesn't add, you know, he'll step in and he'll help out, but you need to live with the consequences of your decisions and be responsible for them, especially your financial decisions.
Yeah.
Is there I have like three or four questions in my head and I'm trying to pick which one I want to ask. You know, before the show, or I don't even know if you said it this morning, like, you're not perfect in your finances and all of that. You just said you are responsible for what happens in the decision you make. Do you have an incident that you're like, "Oh yeah, I made that decision and this is what carried out, and we had to." I'm throwing that one in cold turkey.
Yeah. So we actually probably just recently had some of the biggest financial decisions we had to make, where we bought land and built a home.
Right.
And we did it during COVID, where there was no guarantee of schedule or budget. Mm-hmm. And we said, okay, we're going to embark on that journey, and like, if that means I need to extend my working career, if that means I need to, to fund this, if things go wrong, and then the things did go wrong. It's a building a house, if things go wrong, and you're never on budget. but it was like, okay, am I prepared to live with the consequences of that? I believe we absolutely 100% God calling us to do it.
Yeah.
But depending on how that unfolded, that might have consequences on our other spending, or what our mortgage would be, or even how long I would have to work until retirement, until that balances. But we said, this is a vision we've had. This is something we know God has called us to do. And he did show up time and time again during that whole process, proving that this was his plan for us. But at the end of the day, whatever that outcome was, we had to be prepared to live with that.
Right? Yeah.
And so we thought through, God could provide this way, or he could provide this way, or he could provide this way. But one of the ways might just be, I've got to work for 4 years. Am I prepared to do that?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's just a beautiful thing, because what we have been immersed in for years at More Than Enough is the spiritual part, but the practical part, that his provision. Sometimes we just, as we've experienced in our story, sometimes you walk to the mailbox and someone has sent you a check, and you just wish that you could just open the mailbox. Oh, well, there's the check I need. You're just hoping he's always going to provide that way. And just like you said, sometimes it actually means you're going to have to work more. Sometimes you're waiting. Sometimes you're, but what I'm also hearing in your story is the, focus on the kingdom, because some people can be listening to this, and we often say God's not a genie, a magic genie. You're going to rub his belly and you ask for this and you get what you want, right? We just referenced that James verse. I don't hear that in getting to know you a little bit. Your heart is for God's kingdom.
Very much.
Can you, Diane, even speak to that a little bit?
I think whenever you're in... We were brought up to invest in God's kingdom. That was the way it was expressed to us. And investing in God's kingdom is sometimes financially, sometimes it's just spending your time and using your talents. Mm. And all of it is important, because whenever God puts something on your heart, that's important to work through and work into, but God will never take you somewhere that you're not prepared to go. I'm sorry.
I love that. I love that. Like, as you're talking, Diane, just thinking about, The verse it says, you know, even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, that's advancing the kingdom.
Yes,
so sometimes
exactly.
It's easy like that.
Yes.
We have a cup of cold water and we can share that. Sometimes it's a little more complicated and there's a lot more thought process and some planning with that, right?
So yeah.
But even in your story, when God moves you from like one country to the next, from one city to the next, you know, it's not without kingdom purpose for you. That's what hearing, that you're always laying this at the Lord's feet, that you're always saying your kingdom come, like I'm seeking you first.
Yes.
And sometimes not saying that that's the key, but that's God calls us to that. Our reward is Christ. All the other stuff that we're talking about today is extra bonus. Right. And help along the way. My girlfriend used to say to me all the time, especially on our More Than Enough journey, as we prayed over and over for More Than Enough over the years, God's in the business of guiding. It's what he does. He's the shepherd who guides. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, have you had a struggle in your trust journey? Like we're hearing the highlights, but.
Yes. I mean, I feel like everywhere I've ever gone, that when I'm listening for what God is saying to me, he doesn't need to say anything too much. It usually ends up, just trust me, Diane. Just trust me. Mm-hmm. And it's at the end of the day, if we're believers, our first job is to believe, as believers, is to submit ourselves to God. It's not do whatever you want to do and maybe God will make it work out. Mm-hmm. You have to submit your desires to what God's desires are. And when we do that, then our thinking comes in alignment with God's thinking. Mm-hmm. And we need to read God's words so that our minds are renewed to what God's desires are. And then they become our desires.
Right.
And then whenever you're asking for something, you're asking because you know you're in line with God's desires.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family, we weren't poor, but we didn't have a lot of money, right? Everything was tight always. And I know I actually carried quite a bit of anxiety about money into our marriage. There's a show called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
And in the front cover, it says, don't panic. So I recreated that for my financial binder.
Goodness.
And it said, don't worry. And, you know, like Jesus said, don't worry. You know, God knows what you need. So I sort of recreated it on the front of my binder and big comforting letters said, don't worry. Mm-hmm. And then I'd open it up and it'd be the bank statements and those things. And it was a long journey for me to learn not to worry about God providing. But it was incremental. It was bit by bit. And a big part of it was going back and reminding ourselves, and me particularly, reminding myself, well, God showed up in this. When we did this, God showed up in this. Yeah. When we did this, God showed up like
reminding
this.
Yourself.
Reminding myself over and over. You can, like, and it's honestly, it's kind of, it's like, and speaking to myself here, it's like, who could be more trustworthy than God? Who's more faithful than God?
Right.
Who's more honorable than God?
Right.
And yet we struggle to trust the most trustworthy person. And I had like, but it's like, and he says, and God says, then go back and look, go back and remember what I did for you, and all these personal stories, and then that would give you faith for the next step, and to trust bigger, and take another step of faith, and that's also in giving, right? That's not just we talked about financial situations where God showed up for us, but it also applies in our giving as well, right? You can trust Him in your giving, right? You know. God's a great deal, right? He said, you know what? You got to keep 90 cents on the dollar, and I'll make that 90 cents on the dollar worth more than 100. That's a great deal for anybody to offer you. And it's getting that mindset. Right?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, 100. I'm just thinking about, as I listen to your story and how, you know, the financial part of it weaving into the trust part of it and going, okay, fundamentally, if I'm hearing you right, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying, hey, we're just following the Lord, and He, as He reveals His will, we're tuning our ears to say, okay, this, it's a blue Chevette or
metallic
blue Chevette. That's his will. I can pray that. And the Lord's like, there's a melding together of his will and our will. And that is so key in all of our journeys, because as we do that, there's that surrender piece. There's that component where you're saying, okay, I'd really like a metallic blue Ford Mustang with, you know, whatever that is.
Right? But what I also hear is his delight, that he delights in us. He delights like, oh, just wait till I show Diane. I've got her exactly what she's asking. Yes. I could, you know, and that may sound like a silly thing and maybe irreverent to some people about how to talk about God, but he is a father who rejoices over us with singing. He dances. And, you know, if we take those verses from, I think it's Malachi, he says that, like, he doesn't just, it's not a metaphor. Yeah. He delights in us.
Yeah. I think there's that childlike mindset, right? You know, we now have grandchildren, but if you've got kids or young kids have full expectation provision. They never don't think they're going to get a meal, right? They never don't think. And they certainly, our grandkids don't hesitate to say, can I have an ice cream? You know, they just expect provision, right? And
cookies then, better be in the cookie cupboard.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, actually, they call Diane's pantry the snack room. But there's an expectation. The father is like, okay, you know, have that expectation of like being my child and I love you and I'll care for you.
If you could, because we're like got a couple minutes, if you could give one nugget, we actually have 2 minutes. Bill just told us. Okay. But if you have a one nugget to leave with listeners about trust and God, what would you say?
Yeah, we're all looking at you, Diane.
No, this is an in.
I think that childlike faith, right? You know, I mean, we could talk on all other aspects, but I would start with a step of trust, right? Do something that puts you in a place of trust. You can't worry and trust at the same time. Yep. Wow. So take something you're worried about, decide not to worry about it, and just take a step of trust and allow God to show up for you.
Wow. And it just, when I was looking at you, Diane, I heard Proverbs 3, right?
Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
So why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you that you are trustworthy. We thank you for your grace, your love, your leading us, and in a lot of ways, your immense care and love for us displayed really practically through the things that you provide for us. So we thank you for that this morning and give you glory in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you to LTR Industries for sponsoring today's show. And we thank you for being with us today. And come back next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.